Primetime Roundup Podcast. So glad to be back. I am Walker of Georgia's Own Walker and Macy, alongside the man that's always hanging out at the Star Court Mall, TV fan, expert, enthusiast, Rick Hammond, also known as the Moose, and now the broken-armed Moose. What happened to you?
It's not a fun story. One day I'm going to break a bone doing something really cool, like rock climbing or, I don't know, skydiving, but
this ain't the day.
I tripped over a FedEx package.
Okay, hold on, back up. Let me unpack this. I imagine the FedEx package was on your front porch and you didn't know it was there?
It did. Well, I saw it earlier but forgot it was there.
So you had the opportunity to pick it up at some point and didn't.
Yes.
And then ended up...
I actually told the child to pick it up, but we both forgot as soon as we got in the house. We came in through the garage. We saw it on the front stoop and then just forgot completely. And
this is the worst story I've ever heard. Is there any benefit to, are you off work or something?
I am off work, and I haven't had plenty of time to catch up on television.
Oh, so there you
go. For the sake of the podcast, it's a good thing. I don't know.
Good.
When I got to pay my bills next month, I'm not sure it's going to be so great. But
well, let's talk about Stranger Things 3. I was out of town last week, so we didn't get to talk about it. And it's now been out for a couple of weeks, so I'm assuming everyone has watched it at this point. I was a little disappointed that there were only 8 episodes of Stranger Things 3. I'll ask you this, and I'll go ahead and say it right up front. This was my favorite season of Stranger Things so far. Do you agree with that?
I have heard that a lot. I definitely liked it more than 2, but I'm so far removed from the first season. I don't think I could put it over that, but it's been so long, I'm not sure. I'd probably have to watch it again. The originality, just the way they did the first season, where you weren't sure what you were watching. They were throwing in all these pop culture references, all these horror movie references, horror novel references. Some people got them, some people didn't. I think the original brilliance is going to win in the end for me. But it was definitely a very good season.
You mentioned all the nods to horror movies and things like that from the 80s. I picked up on a lot of that from Stranger Things 3. I think, first of all, there was the one scene where the creature, the Mind Flayer, was like trying to attack Nancy and was like right on top of her and was like, ah, like, and I just thought of Alien. That's all I could think of course. Then just that her name is Nancy, I love too, because that's the character from Nightmare on Elm Street. And you'll like this. I think it was the last episode where Hopper was fighting the Russian, and he kind of stands up and he puts his fists up in front of his face and he kind of motions at him like, come on. And I was like, oh, the American's fighting the Russian and he's telling him to come on. I'm like, oh, Rocky IV, here we go.
You're right. You know, I was too in the moment of that being right out of Terminator. I just felt like that character was totally Schwarzenegger from Terminator, that I missed the Rocky reference, which is weird for me.
All right, I'm going to ask you about Hopper, speaking of our favorite detective. Is he a detective or a sheriff? I'm not sure. Did you get all the way to the, like, end credit, like, after the final episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so I hate it if I'm spoiling this for anyone, but do we assume that Hopper is still alive?
I think that's what we're supposed to assume. I mean, of course, they could have another trick up their sleeve, but they clearly say not the American. What other American would they have?
Right.
What other American didn't come out of that situation?
Right.
So, yeah, I do believe that's what we're supposed to think.
I said it to my wife as we're watching. I said, look, I don't think that he's gone. We didn't see him die. We didn't see a body. And usually on shows like this, when you don't see a body and you don't see them die, they're still around somewhere.
Right.
You know, all we saw was an article in the paper about how he was killed in the line of duty. Well, okay, so now we assume he's there. He's behind that door. And in Stranger Things 4, we're going to get more of that. Trying to think of some of the other highlights from this season. I just really loved the whole nostalgia of the mall, you know, that they went to Sam Goody and they went to, you know, Wicks and Sticks and I don't know, some of these old stores that don't even exist anymore. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, the arcades.
Yeah. As a child of the 80s, I mean, I grew up in an era, I think, where malls were really kind of just getting started. It was probably in this era from the show. And everything was so shiny and everything was new and fun and there was so much to do. I mean, you could just spend a whole day there. And I'm like, my kids are never going to know the fun of just hanging out all day at the mall.
My wife talks about that, just being dropped off at the mall in the morning and picked up when it closes.
Right. And nobody had a cell phone either. So you just had to like arrange with your friend where you're going to meet and then just hope that they showed up there.
Right.
The food court, the whole thing. I loved the conversations that they had throughout the season about New Coke and like,
right.
I'd almost kind of forgotten about New Coke, but the argument that they had about which was better, New Coke or Coke Classic, was just a conversation that you would have had in 1984.
We did have. And it went a lot like that. You're an idiot. What are you talking about? New Coke is terrible. There was one guy that liked it out of 50.
And the characters this season, I'm telling you, I love Steve. We could talk. I mean, we'll probably talk more about this next week because there's so much to say about Stranger Things 3. But Steve was great. And the whole scene, it was almost like half of an episode where Steve and Robin were on drugs. They'd been drugged by the Russians, and they were watching Back to the Future on drugs and like
right.
staring at the mall ceiling on drugs, and it was so funny. I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time.
No, yeah, that was great. That whole thing. It was half an episode, I think, but yeah, that whole interaction. They did a little more of that this year, I think, and I think that's really kind of gotten to people. I think that's why a lot of people like this season so much, was they got into those characters a little more. Maybe we got into characters before. Maybe you got more of Will and Mike in the first season and
yeah.
Fourth 11, but we got more into Steve, and I really like Robin's evolution character.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a little more of Hopper this time.
Yeah. Yeah, even Nancy was a big character in this season.
Right.
Yeah, and it was a little less of the kids. You still had plenty of the kids. I mean, you know, Dustin's still adorable as always. Oh, when he sang Never Ending Story to his girlfriend.
The first 2 minutes of that, I said, this is really stupid. What are they doing? And then by the end, I'm singing it with
yeah.
him.
Of course you were. The only character that I really liked that I was kind of disappointed we didn't get more of was Billy, because you saw him in the first episode show up as the lifeguard and all the moms were just going crazy over this guy. And you saw a bit of that like charming Billy smirk, you know, where he asked Mrs. Wheeler to come meet him at the hotel. And then pretty immediately after that, he gets, possessed by a demon or something. So we didn't really get much more of him, at least as a normal human being in this season. So that was the only downside for me.
Yeah, that was actually Facebooked a picture when it felt very much like Invasion of the Body Snatchers mm-hmm. was kind of coming in as
okay.
as a plot point. So I posted a picture of Donald Sutherland from the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I didn't
yeah.
want a spoiler. If you weren't watching the show, you mm-hmm. wouldn't have gotten it. Because I think I just said, just saying. If you didn't know, you didn't know. But if you knew, I think you knew.
The kids showing up to Ships Ahoy, where Steve was working, and Robin at one point says, how many children do you hang out with?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, your kids are here.
Right. That's kind of weird. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But you don't know. You don't know what's been going on around
right.
here.
Oh, you don't know what's happening in Hawkins. and, you know, 10 minutes in, we haven't even touched on the Russian agent that everyone fell in love with, who didn't speak a word of English but just wanted to drink Slurpees and smoke Marlboros. What do we think of that guy? I mean, we didn't get much of him.
I don't think I got what everybody else did. I saw a meme where he was like, everybody stole America's hearts or something. But I liked it. I liked the character. I like what they did with it. But I don't think it attached to me like it did some people.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, Mrs. Walker got really attached to him. Like, you know, when he ultimately dies at the fair, she was just like, oh no, not him. And I'm like, we just got introduced to this character 3 episodes ago. Like, how are you so attached already? But
that's been one of the brilliant things about this show. My wife still talks about Barb.
Yeah.
Good Girl was on two episodes, and we were devastated when we lost her. Like, there's something they do well on this show where they just get you attached quickly mm-hmm. to characters. Yeah.
Well, and also, it's not Walking Dead. It's not Game of Thrones where you lose... You could lose five or six characters in one episode. I mean, you lose people, but it's really like maybe one person a season, you know, at the most usually. And sometimes it's more side characters. It's usually not any of the main characters. So I'm okay with the way that they do it.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. They're not killing main characters, mm-hmm. but they're giving you side characters and then somehow in making you invest and care right. in a very short amount of time to where it feels like you've lost the main character. I mean, again, Barb was on two episodes.
I know.
My wife is still upset about Barb.
I was all broken up. We were crying when Billy died, and I'm like, he was a jerk. Nobody liked him.
Right. We hated that guy last year. And like you said, he was barely in this season before he was body snatched.
I know. It's great. I mean, as long as nothing ever happens to Steve, I think he's become the Daryl Dixon of this show, where it's like, okay, now that they've made us love him so much, now they can't ever do anything to him.
Yeah, because he was the one you weren't sure you were going to be able to love.
Yeah, just really good. And it made me kind of realize how weak season two was. I guess I didn't think about it when I was watching season two, but the whole side trip to Chicago that Eleven took and finding all of her brothers and sisters and all that, it took a weird turn. I think this season they kind of come back to their like 80s roots, and you know, they bring mm-hmm. all the kids in and they bring in some new fun characters. So,
well, I think part of it last year was, you know, they'd kind of done the upside down, so they didn't want to do quite as much there, but they wanted to keep it dark like the first season had mm-hmm. been. So I think that's where your trip with Eleven and her ending up with the group of kids all doing whatever they were doing. Yeah, that was their way of keeping it still dark, and it just didn't take. It wasn't as good, I don't think. I mean, I had no problem with season two. I liked it a lot.
Well, it's
definitely back to the roots, like you said, of what made that show fantastic in the first season.
Totally agree, and bringing in the Russians was good. Macy was asking me this morning on the show why we're all afraid of Russians. I was like, well, you know, there was the Cold War, but that's just what we were told to do in the 80s. We were supposed to be afraid of Russians. Every movie had a Russian bad guy.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's what's great. You can't do an 80s nostalgia show where right. good versus evil and not have the number one uh-huh. plot line of the 80s evil was yeah. the Russians.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get to a couple more things real quick before we go here. Big Little Lies. I didn't realize that this coming Sunday is the season finale, and they say they're not doing a season three of Big Little Lies. So this could be the end of the whole thing. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like we got a lot to get to in 1 hour if we're going to end this series. I mean, what's going to happen this week?
Well, it's actually very confusing to me. I figured out the same thing after watching this most recent episode. And yeah, we're not even focusing on the case. Like, I thought we were going to be kind of getting more into an investigation and these mm-hmm. people cracking or figuring out, you know, the police. But they're not even in that plot line. They're in a whole other storyline with, mm-hmm. you know, Celeste's children being taken away from her and the grandmother. So, yeah, I don't know how they're wrapping all that up. I feel like they're nowhere near the end of what I thought this season was going to be.
Same. I expected
50 minutes.
Yeah, I expected somebody to be on trial by now, but for murder, not for custody of Celeste's kids. So,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Somebody's going to crack. I mean, all of these people are starting to feel the pressure and starting to fall apart. And I mean,
Bonnie can't wait to crack.
She wants to tell everybody.
Crack one way or the other.
I mean, it was a dumb idea to begin with for them to lie about this whole thing. We've talked about that before. If they'd have just told the truth at the beginning, then there wouldn't have really been any problem, I don't think, knowing how Perry was.
Well, I like the way they've done it because, again, I told you, I had a friend who said he wasn't going to watch it. He just thought the whole thing was stupid because it was totally self-defense. They could have come clean and been fine from the start. But I think they've done a good job of making that part of it. I mean, they actually all feel that way. Mm-hmm. They've all said it at this point. We should have just come clean. This is stupid. We would have been fine. But you panic. And I'm believing, at least they want us to believe, and I am believing, that in the moment they panicked. They went along with this bad plan, and 5 seconds later, when they realized it was a bad plan, it was too late to go back.
That makes a lot of sense, and I'm enjoying season two. I'm not down on it at all, but I hope they do something fun this Sunday night with the series finale, or at least the season finale. I guess it's still up in the air as to whether there'll be another season, but what I hear is they're leaning towards no.
I was surprised they did a second. I mean, it was kind of an isolated kind of a great little story that you don't want to squeeze too much out of it. I don't think that would be good. Like Sharp Objects, they toyed with doing another season of that, but at that point you're just searching for ideas. It's not coming organically.
Yes. Totally agree. Yeah, you don't want to go on too long. Now, finally, and we'll talk a little bit about movies, but the final TV show I want to hit on is The Handmaid's Tale, and we finally got the Aunt Lydia backstory. Have you been waiting for that? You just couldn't
wait. I
didn't
know I was, but I think I might have been.
You just couldn't wait for Aunt Lydia's backstory. I mean, it was fun to find out that she was a teacher. It was kind of sad what happened to her when she went on a date with the other teacher, and it just didn't work out. Like, the timing wasn't right, and I guess that just pushed her over the edge. She just became very reclusive, and well, we see what happened to her now. So, did you enjoy that episode?
Well, I did, and it really did. I mean, she was a very compassionate, and I think we needed it. Like I said, I didn't know we needed it, but we did. Like, she has done that through the show. You feel like there's a heart in there.
Yeah.
Yes, she's doing what she's told, and what she's told is terrible. But you feel like there's a good person in there, and you kind of got to see she really was. She wanted to help this boy. She wanted to help this mother. But then she feels rejected or just doesn't fit in, mm-hmm. or she felt pushed to do something by this woman.
Right.
And when it didn't work out, she just went the other way, which we've seen her do.
Well,
she loves that girl with the eye missing. I never can remember Janine. She loves Janine. She also beat the snot out of her. It's a very conflicted character.
It was. That was a complicated scene where she gave her the eye patch, and Janine seemed so grateful and so happy, and I was like, she's the one that took your eye out.
Well, not literally, I don't think, but yeah.
On her orders, though.
Pretty much, yeah, I think so.
Come on, man. But yeah, she was so pleased. She was just like, oh, you look so beautiful, and I'm just like, Lydia, I don't trust you at all. Speaking of untrusting, I was a little untrusting of the doctor in this most recent episode when June cut her hand, and for some reason she had to live in a hospital for like 2 months, and so she cuts her hand.
I think it was more like six.
Was it? I didn't know how long she was there.
I got the feeling it was a long time. He said months on end.
Yeah.
I don't think she was very far along.
Oh, man.
In her pregnancy when that went down, maybe 3 months.
Doctor shows up and stitches up her hand, and she just pretty much tells him everything. She's like, yep, I was going to kill you. I was going to kill her. And he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I feel like he might come back, and I feel like he might be up to no good. But that could just be a hunch. I don't know.
No, I kind of bought it. I think he's one of the ones. I think you're finding slowly in this world that there are people who are going along to get along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be completely unbelievable that everybody would be thinking this is great, but what are you going to do? He was a doctor. He was a devout Christian. He lived to the ideology. He lived up to what these people thought, so he got to keep his position. He got to live in Gilead, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he thinks this is all fine and dandy. I kind of believed him. He's like, well, I told you. She's like, oh, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I told him not to leave you in here for months on end. You go crazy.
You might kill somebody.
He's like, I'm crazy. He's like, I told him this would happen. Like, I almost said, yeah, I think I bought it. You might be right. I've been wrong before, but I bought it.
Well, I like at the end, and by the way, there's like 4 more episodes this season of The Handmaid's Tale, but I like at the end where June's like, okay, now I'm going to get all the kids out of Gilead. I'm like, this is like her 9th plan now for how to get people out or get herself out or get the kids out, and she hasn't done anything yet. So
Right.
Is she treading water right now? Is she actually going to accomplish something? I don't know if this story is moving along very fast right now.
What can she possibly do? How are they not watching her like a hawk at this point? How is she not on the wall at this point?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah, she's just doggy paddling through at this point.
I mean, I guess
she doesn't care. She's lost. She doesn't care if she lives or dies. I think that's what we're supposed to be seeing now. She told that doctor, "I'm going to kill you." She half expected him, if not completely expected him, to go right out in the hall and get a guard and have her on the wall. Like, she has lost all caring of whether she lives or dies.
Yeah. And in a way, that's fun to watch. That's fun to watch that character kind of get to that not caring point, because we get to see how far she can push it before, okay, that was too much. Handmaid's Tale, be back on Wednesday night. And I did want to hit a movie that's out this weekend. Let's see how you feel about this. The live action version of The Lion King opens up. On a scale of 1 to Hakuna Matata, how excited are you for the new Lion King?
I mean, I usually don't give y'all. I'll give you the Hakuna Matata. I was singing it the other day. I think I'll go all the way. I think it's cool. I haven't really cared about these live action remakes that much, but this one looks really good.
Well, I saw the live action Aladdin and I really liked it, and some people didn't, but I thought it was a lot of fun. And of course, it brings back all the nostalgia with the songs and the characters, and this will too. But I mean, Seth Rogen's involved in it. How bad can it be?
Right.
I don't think I've ever disliked anything Seth Rogen's done. I don't know. Maybe there was a couple of movies in there, but
you probably just didn't see them if they didn't look like you care.
That's right.
The interesting thing I read is that when Elton John wrote the soundtrack for The Lion King, he refused to give Disney the publishing rights, which you have to pretty much do when you write songs for Disney.
Yeah.
But he refused, so he owns the songs. So they actually had to cut him another quite large check to use them again in the same movie.
Brilliant.
Which I bet he never really knew that was going to pay off like that.
Brilliant. I saw a movie over the weekend. I saw a movie called Bad Times at the El Royale. Have you seen that?
No, it's on my DVR. I've been wanting to see it since it came out.
I think this one might be something that you would like. Go check it out. I don't know if it's for everybody. I won't give it 5 stars. I'll give it like 3.5, but it's very Tarantino-ish, where a group of strangers end up at a hotel together, and you don't know who's up to what, and you know, there's a murder and there's a kidnapping and there's people with all kind of different agendas. So it really ends up being kind of fun. And Chris Hemsworth plays a good bad guy. So go check out that movie.
All right.
And speaking of Tarantino-ish, the new Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is out next weekend. So we'll talk about that a little next week. I know you're excited about the 9th film from Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, I saw a trailer last night that said Quentin Tarantino's masterpiece. It's funny that you've already seen his masterpiece 3 times, yet you can still believe it.
Like, I was
okay,
gonna say,
he's made 4 of those, so okay.
Yeah, I think Django Unchained was marketed the same way, his masterpiece.
That's probably one of 2 that I wouldn't call his masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I like that movie a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of want to go back now and watch Django again and watch Hateful Eight again. Just those are the 2 that I haven't seen 100 times.
Definitely watch Hateful Eight again. I'm racking them up on that one. I haven't seen Django that many times either, but Hateful Eight gets better every time I see it. I know his movies always do that, but that one was probably, I didn't think it was that spectacular the first time I saw it, but by the 3rd or 4th time,
there it is.
I did.
All right, man, we'll talk a little more about Stranger Things next week and hit a couple of other things that are coming up. Maybe we can even get back to talking a little sports. Until then, hey, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'll be here.